Welcome back to Politics and More with Shannon Moore and Rosemary Stainbrook. Kind of talking now about the other Trump case with the Supreme Court about whether or not he would have immunity for having classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. And it's really interesting. It's like you have the opposing counsels saying that, look, all it was paper. And then you have the other side being like, well, if you have immunity for that, then it's going to spread to immunity for anything else that could or may be considered criminal. But here is a clip from Ketanji Brown Jackson to try and say that he shouldn't have this level of immunity.
Someone with those kinds of powers, the most powerful person in the world, with the greatest amount of authority, could go into office knowing that there would be no potential penalty for committing crimes. I'm trying to understand what the disincentive is from turning the Oval Office into, the seat of criminal activity in this country. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
Now, okay, so she's worried only about the future, but she doesn't care about anything Obama ever did. She doesn't care about anything George Bush ever did. She's only worried about the future, which I find absolutely contradictory. It's perfectly fine for Obama to target an American teenage citizen on the other side of the Atlantic in order to tick off a known terrorist, but it's perfectly not fine for Trump to have a handful, 20 to 30 boxes of paperwork in Mar-a-Lago. For me, that does not wash whatsoever.
Yeah, it's truly kind of a stark contrast there, and you wonder, well, what's the difference, and we know what the difference is.
It's Trump.
Yeah,
there is no difference. That's the only thing.
Yeah, that is the the only difference. But how this case turns out, I will have to say the some of the headlines from the far left media about Trump's desire claims on the immunity have been they've been funny. Have you seen some of the things they've been claiming?
Even the fact that you had Biden under Obama still using the vice presidential seat and his name to make sure that an attorney in Ukraine looking at Burisma, where his son is on the board, that's totally fine too. It's like Biden at the time didn't even have executive immunity to do those things, but that's totally fine. But Trump is the problem. Trump is the reason why we can't go forward and have this type of immunity.
And you think about the fact that Biden had papers he wasn't supposed to have in his garage, essentially.
Yeah, in Connecticut, in Pennsylvania. It's like in multiple places.
And yet, there's no prosecution of him.
Right.
Now, I'm not arguing should be, but there shouldn't be a prosecution of Trump either.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this kind of goes back to that whole idea that what has been coined the term lawfare is being waged against Trump and his reelection here this year. But in the broader sense of the of looking at history, I think if it, for whatever reason, succeeds, this will not be the end of it, that the left will realize we will use the law, we will use courts to silence our opponents. Because if it works one time, it'll work every time.
Yep.
And so for conservatives And especially for independents, they've got to think about this, because this is not going to be a good precedent for this country if this becomes the accepted way to deal with political opponents by the left in the future. But for those people on the left who are pushing this, I think it's just win at all costs and not think about what they are creating here.
I definitely agree. It's like they think that they are winning, and they don't realize that they're going to reap the whirlwind with this. And at the same time, they think that, well, you know, the Republicans are going to have the decorum not to go after us. It's like, I wouldn't necessarily count on it to that degree anymore. It's like, if we find out you actually broke the law, not just skirted it the way that you guys are with Trump, there are going to be political realities and law realities that are going to come down the pike, whether they like it or not.
You know, when we think about some of these third world countries where corruption is rampant, where the court system really kind of are used against political opponents. And, you know, we've seen the left railing against Putin and his locking up of political opponents. Well, what really is the difference with the left and just the numerous indictments that they have brought against Trump in the last 2 years? Because, again, they are looking at this as a way to keep him from office, but I guarantee you that if this somehow succeeds in the future, the left will return to this again, so that whoever's our next Republican contender, they'll be looking at ways to try to disqualify him through the justice system.
And kind of another story that came out this week that is very, very popular, Biden went ahead and signed the bill to ban TikTok. Now, Biden has been on TikTok since the Super Bowl, and he barely even is breaking 400,000 followers on it. And it's like, they have this wide network where they're actually paying influencers. They were even inviting influencers to the State of the Union address. And they are not making Biden popular. It's not working. So this is one of the ways that he is trying to control the narrative, not have as much critiques. But here is another influencer who is pointing this out. And again, it's like Biden is losing influence with the young people on TikTok.
Well, it's been a busy day for Joe Biden. He struggled to read his teleprompter. He signed a $95 billion aid package so we can fund wars all around the world. And he also signed the long-awaited TikTok ban.
4 more years. Pause.
Now, this TikTok ban that Joe Biden signed really underscores the hypocrisy and the ridiculousness of his entire administration, because he just joined TikTok in February. And now that he's had his ass handed to him and all these young people don't like him, now he wants to ban it. The fact of the matter is, 170 million Americans use TikTok to express themselves, to engage in political discourse, especially young people. And as we've seen across the country, young people have a lot to say right now. I'm not saying I agree, I'm not saying you have to agree, but the fact of the matter is, they're engaged like never before. Now in Washington, D.C., they're all doing this faux indignation that a foreign entity owns a part of TikTok. What's funny about this is that Joe Biden, his family, and tons of other elected officials have been doing business in foreign countries for years, okay? Joe Biden and his son were doing business in Ukraine. Now we have to send billions of our tax dollars over to Ukraine. So stop acting like you're concerned about TikTok. What's also interesting is that a lot of these Democratic influencers like Harry Sisson, they have been silent about Joe Biden's TikTok ban. In fact, Joe Biden just invited them to the White House for the State of the Union. Of course, I didn't get that invite, you guys. As of 2 hours ago, the Biden-Harris campaign was using TikTok. This is absolute hypocrisy. Also, as it pertains to TikTok, last year, Joe Biden hired Morgan McNaughton to be the Deputy Director of Partnerships at the White House. And guess where she used to work? She used to work at Palette Management before being hired by the White House. And Palette Management, they've been paid heaps of money by the DNC to promote Joe Biden through influencers.
Now, this is really hitting, you know, people under the age of 25 really hard. They can't stand this. There are plenty of businesses and influencers that are making money through TikTok, that are expanding their business after COVID through TikTok. And this is just another way that Biden is going to lose influence with the younger crowd that he is hoping is going to vote for him.
You know, in that clip, they had Biden talking. But I will have to say, there was like apparently a speech that Biden gave this week where he actually like read the word pause.
Yeah.
Like it was in the
in the
script.
Yeah.
But that's the instruction where he's supposed to pause in the speech and let people clap, and then he would keep reading. But he actually kept on reading and said pause.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like Biden is not here. I'm sorry, guys. He is no longer with us. It's like he is 100% puppet at this point.
So the interesting thing about TikTok though is, for so long, a lot of conservatives were raising the concern about TikTok being used to spy on individuals. And now, here's the left is or at least Biden is trying to ban it. And
yeah.
We'll see how that goes. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back after these short breaks.